Good evening, everybody. It's good to have you with us. And we're back in the New Testament again. And like I told Ronnie a while ago when we was having supper, I'm going to ask you to turn tonight to begin with to Levi 3:12. Everybody got there yet? Okay. I came across Matthew. So turn with me to Matthew 3:12. But Matthew in places is known as Levi. And he is not a tax collector like Zacchaeus was. But he was a, what do they call it? If you go down to a paved road toll, he's a toll collector. And it's what he is classified as for, these Roman, people that got the thing. So evidently when they build something where you can cross water by land or by a bridge, you have to pay homage to it. And so I think that Matthew was doing this for this, the place where they were living. I think it was their, probably their tribe. To begin with, was, there was a tribe of Levi. And so Matthew, I think, was part of that. And so, I think he didn't get out and go from house to house, maybe like Zacchaeus did, but he sat at a place where he took these tolls, like, you know, if you go up to a toll gate, you get on a toll road, you have to throw your money in or something to go, and then sometimes you have to do it to get off. But, it was the way they made money to get what they, to build whatever it was they wanted to build. But, so Matthew was a toll collector, so we will, I won't get involved in the tariff business because I don't know anything much about tariff. But everybody else says a tariff is a tax. But, you know, a toll is a use of something you just use as the need is. But a tariff, you know, was stuff that was brought in and then it was added on to whatever the tariff was laid out to be, and then that was, yeah, every time you went to buy something, you had to pay that tariff on it. So that was the difference in the two. But I want to go back to Matthew, because I'd already gotten into Luke some, and I got to the point where I said, well, wait a minute now. Luke is been put in prison. I got to go back where Luke, John the Baptist was put in prison. So I said, well, I got to go back from there and pick up with this story and then fit the rest of my notes into that to get through the Gospel of Luke. So going back to Matthew, I want to go back to Matthew 3. And I'll just start with verse 5 in Matthew. And we're going to read this of 3:5. Men went out into him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So, John the Baptist realized that these folks needed this repentance thing because they were not doing what they've been supposed to do. And so we find this here in more places than one. And he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And that's full stop. But evidently, these people were looking like, well, Abraham was someone that, if they felt like they needed to say something to somebody, that they might could turn back and say, well, I looked to Abraham for this, but this is not the way it was supposed to work. And it says, after he talks about that, he said, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And that's in there more than one place too. And now, also, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, this goes back to the deal where these people had brought these fig trees out of Egypt, and they had thorns in them. And so this was, this goes back, way back, but they're looking here even in Matthew into the time that they're going to get part and parcel of the land that God had promised to them for an inheritance. And so, they did have good figs, but they also had a bunch of the bad ones. Well, these people were using the people around them, as I said before, they picked a bag of good ones, and whenever they were going to try to sell them, they'd give each one of them a fig to eat, which was good. But then whenever he went to sell them, he would get them out of another bag of the trees that they picked that had the thorns in, and those wasn't fit to eat. And he'd be on down the road somewhere, and they wouldn't know which way he went or where he was going to.
Bait and switch.
And so that's the way he fooled these things. And so this is what God said. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And this fire was, and as you get on over into Luke, was listed as the fire that they, after they got done doing the wheat, and the chaff was still in the floor. They would set the floor on fire and then sweep it off as he went, and it says it was an unquenchable fire. I mean, they had fire there until it burned up all the chaff, because that was how they cleaned the floor with that.
And all this went with that baptism of repentance.
Yeah.
John right. You didn't have the fruits. That's what happened.
You had to come with something. Because you see, when John the Baptist came, he came with stuff that he got out of the woods with the wild honey and all this. And he was dressed like a nomad. He was dressed like somebody that lived in the woods by himself. Like these guys that come back from Korea and all this was on drugs, you know, they didn't know how to get by and how to do. Okay, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, full stop. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And this was Matthew's take on that. And he says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and garner his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Meaning that if God sets it, it's going to do its job. Okay? Then cometh Jesus from Galilee into Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? He asked him the question, and you come to me?
Yeah.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so. For thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, John, suffered him, Christ, or Jesus. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightly out of the water, full stop. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, full stop. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so we're not going to get into the Spirit in the wilderness where he met the devil up there, but we're going to go on over a few things. Because this is a lot of information here. And I want to go to Matthew 11, okay? And so let's make a little correspondence here, and here as to what we've already heard and what we're going to hear. And that was when Jesus came to John the Baptist and was baptized. Now, John had not been put in prison that day, but he was put in prison not long after that. And that's, we'll find it in Luke 19 when we go back to Luke 19. But let's read Matthew 11. And it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their city. So, all these men come from different parts of the 12 tribes that Jesus had picked out for them. And so, they were all there, and so he had trained them up to this point, but he was going to give them a chance to see him at work in their area of where they lived and where they stayed. And this is kind of like when I said a week or two ago that they did things like some of these music stars do. When they're going to have a show, they always brought in somebody to start it off or to get it going. Well, this is no different.
Opener, yeah.
And so he is going to use this as a teaching tool for his disciples. It says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Well, he may have sent more than that, because he may have sent four, or at least two more may have joined them in this little caravan that he was going around with and teaching his disciples what to do, because it seems like there was more than just the two, but they are two here. It's not mentioned by name, but they're just mentioned by number. Two of his disciples, and he said unto him, or said unto him, art thou that that should come, or do we look for another? So when Jesus heard what, I mean, when John heard what Jesus was doing, then he sent his two men over there, and he says to them, are you sure this is God's son? And so this was a learning deal for them.
Or do we look for somebody else?
Yeah. Jesus answered, said unto them, go and show John again these things which ye have heard and seen. Verse 5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Now that's what they were there to find out. So Jesus said, okay, you're going to see this take place before your very eyes. He said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So he said, if anybody is offended by me or what I do or in me, you know, then he has work to do. He has business to take care of. And he says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye into the wilderness to see? A question. And then he asked another question. Was a reed shaken with the wind? Is that what you got to look for? Well, what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. He said, that's part of the king's bunch. They're the ones in the soft clothing.
That ain't me.
That ain't John the Baptist.
Wrong guy.
No, wrong people. And he says it in verse 9, it says, but what went you out for to see? A prophet? Oh, wait a minute now. That's different, because, you know, we heard in two books before the end of the Old Testament that if your son come in and said he is prophesying for God, you take him out and kill him.
Yeah, he's done.
It says, a little later on, it says, but when you get to question him, and the true one, you'll say he'll have nail prints in his hands, and when you ask him where he got them, he will tell you he was with friends. Okay, so now they're looking for a prophet again, even in the book of Matthew. What you got for to see a prophet? Yea, he says, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, we've already read this in Isaiah chapter 40. But it's also mentioned a couple of times after that, for sure. He said, verily I say unto you, verse 11, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Full stop. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So, this is the situation that they were in when Christ was growing up and John was growing up. These 30 years that they couldn't get out and get involved because of fear of their mother and father, of being brought in before the king and maybe beheaded or some of that stuff. They couldn't do it until they got 30 years old or until they were married. And that was the law. If you broke the law, you paid the price. So it says in verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias or Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? He says, okay, I'm looking at them. Now, what do I do to make this judgment work, or a judgment work? He said, okay, I'll just tell you. In the streets of the cities and towns, it is likened to children sitteth in the markets and calling unto their fellows and say, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. And we have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil, because he wasn't living like they were living. And they had already themselves judged John, even down to the king.
Yeah.
The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they had repented not. Well, you see, this is full stop again. He had carried his people and put them out down through there and told them to do this and do this and not do this and not do that. And then he went around and come back again to see how they was doing. So he went around and picked them all up. This is the second part of his ministry. And he says, woe unto the shows that are in. Woe unto thee, Bethesda, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Full stop. For if their mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom for the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me and my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So that's part of the deal between the inheritance of the Father and the inheritance of the Son. Because those that were of the stars in the sky and the sands of the beach, they didn't do their work.
Yep.
And he is telling them so. And he says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, full stop. For you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so that is the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. As we had just read it. Now, we didn't go over every little jot and tittle that was there in the... But you can see from the overall amount of this that it didn't vary. And so when Jesus come back from the grave and was with them for the 40 days that was left there, because he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then he was with them for 40 days. And the Passover was going to come 7 days later. That would have made 50 days till the Passover. And he says, you go, you come and you stay there until And he says, when I go, the Comforter will come. Well, the Comforter was either the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to take that. I don't know what the great difference is in it yet for myself, but I do know this, that the third part of the Godhead didn't make of itself any great thing. It was just the Holy Spirit was there to direct mankind in the ways that Christ wanted them to go to the pleasure of the Father.
Amen.
And so, let's go to Luke 7. Let me see if I can find it that quick. Yeah, I got it here somewhere. Okay, Luke 7. And we're going to start in Luke 7. And we're going to start with verse 11. And we're going to go to Luke 18. With the first part of it. Because this is, particular to Luke. This scripture has been chosen out and I've got the notes that goes with this. And it says, and it came to pass. And if you got a companion Bible, it's on page 1452. But we're going to talk here about the widow's son. And as I said before, man, you don't go very far until there's someone out front that gives you a great picture of what's going on and how come and why. These people still didn't believe this is beyond me. Or could not understand it. And that's like even today. When you go to talking with somebody about Christ, they're part of the group that says, well, I'll wait for a convenient season. Well, I waited 33 years for a convenient season. But then when I got to thinking about what Brother Larry said in his thing with the three men up with the tree, I couldn't get that out of my mind. And so they wasn't any use to push that situation any further because I heard Ann's prayers. And I knew she was praying for me, and she was praying for me for one thing, because if something happened to her, she wanted her children, which I'm looking at one of them right now, to get to know the deal with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so I put those two together. Going down the road, driving my old Ford Comet station wagon that had been wrecked. Because lots of times if you're kin to somebody that runs a junkyard, you can get a pretty good deal. And that was me. And but it was on my mind and I knew I couldn't get it off. The Holy Spirit was really, really dealing with me. We had a softball game. The church had a softball game out at Wahala. And I got in my old car, and after I got all the bats and everything up, and got in the car and started out of Wahala, coming back home, which was about 8 miles that time. I still couldn't get it out of my mind. And I was going down the road. Well, I lit up a cigarette. I still smoked at the time. And I thought about it, and I said, well, Lord, if I'm going to testify for you, I don't need to have a cigarette in my mouth. And I said, please, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go and learn whatever you want me to learn. And I said, I don't have a problem with alcohol, but I do with cigarettes. Take these cigarettes away. And I smoked that one on down the road, and I flipped it out, and I was even a fireman at the time, but I didn't pay that much attention because I wanted to get rid of it. I throwed the pack out of my pocket up on the dash, up on the dash part of the car, and those things kind of rotted up there. I never smoked another one. Have not smoked anything since that time. And I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't know it was that easy.
For most people, it ain't.
But yeah, for most it isn't. And I'll agree with that. But I got with the right one that said, I can fix your problem. And so he did that for me. Okay. Now, this widow's son here, we might get through that part of it. But from 11 to 17, there's a lot of ands in here. But verse 11 through 17, peculiar Luke. And it was selected because it is connected with the Lord's person as God, raised of the dead. And it was particular of the Lord's person as man because he was full of compassion. And these ands just keep putting it together. And somebody else had, I had heard this story by somebody else, but I can't remember who because I didn't write it down. Or I probably didn't have this Bible at the time. But this notes has been transferred, okay? Let's look at it. And it said, and it came to pass on the day after he went into the city of Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Here's three ands in one verse of scripture. It says in verse 12, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, or being carried out, the only son of his mother. Now here's the fourth and, she was a widow. In the fifth hand, and much of the people of the city was with her. So evidently she was well known, and her son was well known. But he had died. Okay. So when he came to the gates of the city, I guess he had to stop. Jesus had to stop and wait on her crowd to come out. Because he had a crowd with him. Okay, they fixing to be a pretty good number of people at this funeral. Because they were right down around Jericho.
Yeah.
The city that they went around every day. A day for 7 days, and then the seventh day they went around at 7 days, and the walls imploded on it. And this was later on in the thing. This was when they had been given this land through the high priest to the people of Israel. They were driving out these ites, you know. Much people of the city was with her, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Well, this is part of his way of doing things. He can show compassion when compassion is needed. He can show love when love is needed. He can show fierceness, rather, when that's meted out to people. Okay. And the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. They were outside of the city now, because it could have been Jericho where they were. I don't know. But the fact is, he was a man. Okay. It does say where they were. Well, you know, they had a law about touching dead people or touching the things that dead people are in or were,
yeah,
or whatever. So we get down to 14, and he came and he touched the bier, meaning the woven basket that the body had been laid in, because he had been prepared for the tomb. They had already done their preparation and done their most of their crying, but his mama was still crying. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. The people that were moving him out, because they always had the funeral. They didn't have it inside a walled city. They always took everybody out. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Well, you know, we read over there about a mother having a baby. Well, they do. They give the mother the baby, for the mother to begin to love and care for her. That's what they do. That's what these midwives and all do that helps birth. Yeah. But look at what Jesus done. It says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. He picked him up and said, here, woman, I could just see that. Here, woman, here is your son alive. Wow.
Yeah.
Raise the dead. And it says, and there came a fear on all. Now, John's disciples were in this group. These two that he had sent to find out if this was really the Christ. They had already put him in jail. And yeah, he seen the dove come and light on Jesus. And he told the people exactly what he had been told, that I'm not worthy to unlatch the
shoes off his feet.
Shoes on his feet. He said, and there came a fear on all, full stop. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. Don't say it again. Salvation had come to that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the way it works.
Walk in salvation.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 17. And it said, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions round about. Now, don't you know that Satan had a mess to cover up here, because evidently he knew about this too. And so he gets his 2 cents worth in wherever he can. And boy, if you ever needed anything for a showstopper, this was it. But I want to read you verse 18. Well, I might have a little more time than this. And it said, and the disciples of John showed him. Now, this was whenever they went back. And they went back to John and showed him all these things. And it says, and John called upon him 2 of his disciples and sent them to Jesus, saying, now this was not the same 2 that saw, I don't think, this. Because here's 2 more. And this is what threw me when I got started on all this. And I said, wait a minute. There's a lot of doubt going on here. I can't see why all this hasn't caused a lot of people to believe. John called them to him, 2 of his disciples, sent them to Jesus. Well, they should have already been there if they saw it. So it's not the same 2. You may agree with this, or you may not agree with it, but I think there was 2 others that come, and maybe these 2 went back to where John the Baptist was. And when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? I still was dumbfounded. This was so great of a thing until they could not believe their eyes and their ears.
Well, it ain't every day you meet somebody that can walk over to a dead body and make it sit up.
Yeah. So they,
even today, that would.
Yeah.
That would have every camera.
You know, you and I talked this out, and we said, well, if we had this power to go into the hospital as fast as you could go from room to room,
you could heal
these people and send them home. Yeah. They'd be out of business in at least as long as it took.
Or you can even go to the graveyards or the funeral homes,
yeah,
and clear them out.
Do the same thing.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You think you could get a little of attention doing that?
Yeah, but would you think there would be that many unbelievers?
Oh,
still,
yeah,
there?
They would be. Yeah. Or they would be somebody suspicious of all of it.
This is how far Satan has got us.
Yeah.
Okay. If you can't see and understand this, even in the day that we live in, 80-85 is done way past, and we're in 2025 now. they would probably be that many. And it says, and in the same hour, listen to this. In that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight.
probably why John says that if you had to write down everything Christ did, the books wouldn't hold it.
Yeah. Well, the Word tells us that if anything is said and not been wrote down, you need to look for more. Because if it's been said, and then if it has been written down, that's two of the three things it needs to be. And the third thing is if it's been quoted in some other passage of scripture somewhere, then that is the three things that makes it very, very understandable that it was God's work that be there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I was looking through this and reading this and it was talking about Isaiah. Well, if it's in three places, if it's just been said, maybe not. Or if it's been said and then written down, then, you better start looking at it. But then, if it's quoted somewhere else in God's Word,
yeah.
Then you better put on the brakes and say, whoa now. We've got proof, full proof now, that this is God's Word and He meant for it to be there that way. And there's no doubt about it being scriptural and should be believed by all. Now, okay. I got just another minute or two. So they seen all these things to do, and it says in that same hour, this was a lot that he would have had to have done, but not for Christ. Not for the risen Christ, it wouldn't be, because, he was the man there before he went back up in
the power of the Creator. Yeah.
And so, here we are. Said, then Jesus said unto them, go your way, tell John what you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf heard, the dead are raised to the and the poor to the gospel is preached. And it says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Because if you're offended of that, God hasn't got anything for you.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't waste his gifts upon people that can't accept them or won't accept them and use them. He's looking for somebody, if he gives them a gift, and one of the first gifts they get is to be born, but they're born into sin, though. But there has to be salvation somewhere. And it has to be real. And so I think a lot of times these little, church schools, during the time kids are out of school, they get them, and I think they don't understand what they're doing. They're being led by their teacher or preacher or mama or daddy or somebody that wants them to do this. And I think they have to become to where they can understand it within themselves.
Amen.
And I think that's what happened to my sister, Tiny, because she's never been able to come to the fact that she can read this and get out of it what she needs to get out of it.
Yeah.
Bless your heart. And I've tried and tried and tried and still try. But I go over there, but she lives here so much.
Here and don't hear, yeah.
And then it won't, her ears stop up again. But I know what my job is, and I am going to continue my job until one of us is not there.
Amen.
Bless your heart. She,
all we can do.
She can write me all the little books she wants to write, but there is nothing in them that I don't already understand.
Amen.
But there's a lot in there that I can't understand because I can't get into her mind to get it out to where I can get it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll pick up with this in the next study, and then maybe I can put a lid on some of this stuff and get it down to where it makes sense, and get enough of it in possession to where it truly makes sense. But Lord, it does. It really does. And it's just so great to us. And this makes me shudder sometimes, even sit before the open word and
pray. We're never going to run out of material, are we?
Oh, man. No, I'm not. I'll never run out of material. I don't care how old I get.
Amen.
But here we are. And thank you for following along with me and being there. But, you know, see all this stuff. Not only that, but see, when you see it somewhere else and you get a few chapters over or a few places over and you find it again and it gives you some more information in this, and then it goes on to give you even more information, then you better take heed to it, because it is what God wanted there.
Yeah, amen.
It's been said, it's been written, and now it's been quoted. God bless his holy word.
Amen.
Thank you.